2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Paco's Fast 40, presented to you by DFSArmy.com. If you enjoy the content that you hear on the podcast and would like to come check out our premium tools and articles and all of our content for other sport, DFSArmy.com, use promo code on sign up. Link is in the description. We are headed to Fontana, California for the Auto Club 400, and this is a 200-lap race on a 2-mile track. The surface is very flat, and it has absolutely no grip whatsoever. It's the oldest asphalt surface in NASCAR. And with low banking, no grip, it means that tires are going to be just absolutely essential. And we got quite the mix-up this week. We're going to have a much different go at it this week, as we have an unprecedented amount of cars that failed to make a qualifying run. 13 to be exact. So I'm going to kind of go down the field a little bit differently this week, focus on the dominators first, then all the guys that start in the back, then the guys to avoid, stuff like that. We got a lot of practice times, and we got 10 lap speeds in both the second and third practice today. And of course, there's one guy that sticks out, kind of the guy that's been sticking out so far all year, and he just so happens to be pretty good at Fontana himself. But before we get into the drivers, just going over this race real quick and how fantasy points are allotted generally. We very rarely see anyone go over 100 fantasy points. Even though we've seen guys lead over 100 laps, there just aren't really that many laps here. We've seen Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick do it in 2013, 2016. They both led almost 150 laps with about 50 fast laps each, and that was just enough to push him past the 100 fantasy point threshold. But compared to your usual large oval, your 1.5-mile track, the standard cookie-cutter type race that has about 312 laps or 267 laps, this only having 200 laps, we see the scores overall lower, and that kind of makes hitting the salary expectations for the guys in the very front a bit harder to do. I mean, if a Kevin Harvick, who's 11,500, it's going to be hard for him to hit value unless he does dominate and lead a whole bunch of laps and whatnot. But if they do, they'll most certainly be in the winning lineup. It's just that we're not going to see like two or three of these big dominators kind of split domination and end up being in the winning lineup. It's not really going to work out like that. If you're not dominating, then of the top scores that we've seen historically, a lot of them are just guys that come from the back to the front. We see a decent amount of that. Guys that start in the back tend to do better than, or they definitely do better than they have, at the tracks we've most recently gone to, like Phoenix or Las Vegas, these kinds of tracks. You don't want to play anyone from the back here. And typically, that's what I'd say about this race, but things are about to change in a major way with how qualifying shaked out. With all these guys starting in the back, it's going to start out as like a disaster, because you've got really bad drivers starting like mid-pack and really good drivers starting behind them. It's going to be chaotic, but historically here, we've seen most of the fantasy point scoring come from positions 1 through 5. The pole sitter actually doesn't do as well as the guy starting in second place, generally. The pole sitter will average about 40 lead laps and 20 fast laps. And almost all of the fast laps come from the top 5 starting positions. If you start in the top 5, you average over 15 fast laps. Any other position, you average about 5 fast laps or less. The numbers are pretty clear there. The guys in the back won't get any fast laps. Those are almost all going to go to the leader or whoever's out in front here. But with the reduced laps, and especially with how things are this week, place differential, and mainly the place differential, but also finishing position is going to matter a lot more than your typical week, just with the lower number of dominator points to go around. As far as the dominators, our number one favorite, the guy that's been the fastest throughout all of these practices, he'll be starting 10th when Mr. Kevin Harvick. So you've got last week's failed pole sitter, Martin Truex Jr., starting alongside Kyle Busch. This is pretty good. We're going to have, there's not one clear dominator sitting on the pole that we all know is going to lead all of the laps. Many different options in ways that the slate could shake out, especially with the guys at the bottom. I'm just worried that there are probably going to be at least a handful of chalky lineups that do pretty well, because you can make some just using all the guys starting in the back or pairing them with Harvick, and you can make some that fit out really nicely that'll probably be very popular, especially in cash games. But just going through the field here, let's talk about the six guys starting up in the front who kind of deserve to start up in the front of the guys that did make qualifying runs. And these would be the guys most likely to dominate the first chunk of laps, if not most of the race here. And first and foremost, Kevin Harvick, $11,500, starting in 10th, but he led first and second practice, fourth in speed, in final practice, happy hour, that just finished here, but fastest in 10-lap speeds in both the second and third practice. And he was also fastest in 15-lap speeds as well as 5-lap speeds. Yeah, it's definitely safe to say that he's the favorite here. He's a very good Fontana driver historically. Had a couple of runner-up finishes until a 13th place finish last year. And I would just throw last year's race out the window completely for Harvick, because he took damage very early on in the race and was, like, you know, way back in the pack, and his car was taped together from the get-go. His nose took so much damage. I'm throwing that race out completely. And the race from 2014 where he crashed as well. When he's not ran into, which can happen here. This can be a bit of a wild race, especially towards the end. But if he does hit, if he doesn't get into an accident or have any sort of kerfuffle here, Harvick's probably going to do extremely well. You know, won the last three races on the NASCAR circuit, going for his fourth in a row. He's going to be insanely chalky. All the attention is on him, and starting in 10th, that gives him just a little bit of extra place differential. But it's the exact same place he started at last week. And while you didn't actually need to use him last week, with him just not getting the dominator laps here, it's easier to see him working his way up here. Just 2 years ago in 2016, he led almost all of the laps, you know, when he's actually out there and isn't in the garage or in trouble, he's out there dominating. And I expect another race like that this year. He's definitely going to work his way up from 10th probably pretty quickly. It's pretty easy to pass here, as you can work multiple lanes as long as you're not working the same lane as the guy in front of you. And in the turns, you'll see people riding the outside usually, but you can also ride the middle or the inside. There are multiple groove racing here. Last year we saw Clint Bowyer take a completely different line than everybody else, and he had a really good finish. There are just multiple ways to skin a cat here, and that's going to favor some drivers more than others, but Harvick's definitely someone who's going to be able to carve out his own path here. And he's starting, you know, guys that are starting in the top 15 or so have a pretty nice advantage over some of the guys starting in the back, just because that initial chaos could honestly start a crash. I could see that happening. We've got guys like Gray Galding starting 20th, Matt DiBenedetto starting 18th, Reed Sorensen starting 24th, Jeffrey Earnhardt starting 23rd. You know, that's just a recipe for disaster with guys like Hamlin, Elliott, Jimmy Johnson, Almirola, all starting behind. That's just a recipe for disaster. That these guys starting up at the front, they do have that safety net of not, just being able to drive past all of that mess with all the guys, all the guys in the top 15 or so being at least of respectable speed. So Harvick, he's pretty safe. He's going to work his way up, and you'd imagine by like stage two, he'll be nosing his way for the lead, if not sooner than that. Practice speeds were impeccable, and he's one of the best. Truex and Kyle Busch are the best in this entire field at large ovals, and driver rating on large ovals. They all have a driver rating of around 110, and they pace the field in that stat there, those three, and they're the three most expensive drivers on the board. And even though Truex isn't the greatest here exactly, you still got to consider these three like the favorite for the race, along with last year's winner, Kyle Larson. Now, just the thing with Harvick is he's going to be just incredibly chalky, probably over 50%. I don't think he's going to be like last week where he's like 60% almost, 55% around there. I think he'll come in at around like 45 to 50% or so, just because there are other expensive guys you do have to pay for starting in the back, like Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin. But, $11,500, it's really expensive still. And if this lap had more, or if this race had more laps, he'd probably be around 12,000, I'd say. But 11,500, that's pretty fair. 3-1 odds right now, so he's not the overwhelming favorite like last week where he was like 2-1, 2.5-1. But still a heavy favorite, and if all things go normally, you'd expect him to move up from like 10th to at least the top 3 and definitely put up some lead in fast laps. Definitely fast laps. He has been hogging fast laps this year. 50 fast laps per race and over 100 lead laps per race over the last 3 races here. Just skipping Daytona because, that doesn't matter, but the stats so far this year are staggering. 127 driver rating. That's by far the best of anyone in NASCAR. So Harvick is what you look at first when you're making lineups. You have to choose to Harvick or not to Harvick. And if you're not Harvicking, there are plenty of other options. You can mix and match these guys, although I wouldn't play any more than 2 of these guys in a roster. And the other options up here are Truex Jr. starting at 10, starting on the pole for $10,800. And right next to him be Kyle Busch, $10,300. And then you've got Keselowski starting back in 11th, who had an amazing performance at this track last year. He crashed multiple times in the first, 10 laps here, and took his beat-up car to a second-place finish after everything. You've got his teammate, Joey Logano, starting 6th. He's $9,400, a nice discount for Logano, despite the fact he's been performing really well this season. And then you've got last year's winner, Kyle Larson, starting 3rd, right behind Kyle Busch and Truex there. So right from the initial get-go, you've got to imagine that one of Truex, Kyle Busch, or Larson leads the first big chunk of laps. And, Larson, top 5 in pretty much every practice, but not the number 1 speeds. We saw him kind of compete with Harvick in 10-lap speeds in happy hour practice. He came 2nd to Harvick in that regard, and that's always nice to see here. Because even though it is a caution fest towards the end of the race here usually, we do see some long green flag runs towards the beginning or in the middle of the race. And so long speed, with the tire fall off here, long-term speed is very important to look at the 10-lap speeds here. So we like Larson for that. Larson's just fast overall. The California kid, winner last year. He crashed in 2016, but at his debut at this track in 2014, he finished runner-up. His first 3 wins in his racing career were at 2-mile tracks, and he's always had a lot of success at these. Very good at Pocono, very good at Indianapolis, and the thing that makes the thing that we talk about with Larson a lot is he loves riding the outside, he loves hugging the wall, and that's one of the best strategies that you can use here. So unlike other kind of flatter tracks like Martinsville, where you want to right inside. You can definitely drift out to the outside here. And really, there are just multiple lanes to work with. Guys who are dirt track racers will have a little bit of an advantage here, you know, because they'll be able to work these multiple grooves and turns very well. And that's what Larson's known for. This is right in his wheelhouse. This is a track set up for him. Larry McReynolds had made the comparison between this and Homestead. We all know that Homestead is one of Larson's best tracks. So he's got to be someone that sticks out here. But being behind Kyle Busch and Truex, and then having Harvick looming behind him, it's hard to get too married to Larson here. Looking at the battle between Truex and Harvick, or Truex and Busch, you know, Truex will have the first pit stall. He'll get to choose the lane he prefers from the restart. But I think Kyle Busch is looking a bit better than him. They were number one and two in final practice, Kyle Busch being ever so slightly faster than him. Although Truex came third in 10 lap speeds with Kyle Busch right behind him in fourth. It's kind of a toss-up here, but I think Kyle Busch is probably the better option here. He has a much better driver rating here at Auto Club. Driver rating average of 116 compared to Martin Truex Jr.'s 93. And he won multiple times in a row here, 2014, 2013. Loves this track in both Xfinity and in the Cup Series. Has had some dominating performances in the Xfinity Series like he does everywhere else, but he does love this track. He likes the West Coast swing, being from Vegas. That's a part of the season where he loves to dominate. And we saw him last week. He just absolutely dominated, blocked Harvick from so many lead laps. And he's been number two in fast laps this year. And there's just such a huge drop off from Harvick and Kyle Busch to the rest of the field. Harvick is averaging 50 fast laps per race. Kyle Busch, 37 fast laps per race. And then Truex Jr. is ranked number three in fast laps per race, but he comes in at only 17 fast laps per race. And just, there's a humongous drop off between Kyle Busch and Truex Jr. there. All the speed is in the 18 and 4 right now. And I'm kind of surprised that guys like Logano, Keselowski, Larson, and especially Truex, they have not been getting the fast laps that they did last year. And we've seen other guys like Clint Bowyer, Kurt Busch, these Stuart Haas Fords, who didn't get any fast laps all last year. They've been racking them up this year in a surprise fashion. Ryan Newman is tied with Martin Truex Jr. right now. They both average exactly 17 fast laps per race. So, you know, throughout the course of the season, I expect that to normalize a bit. Truex Jr., looking back historically at large ovals, averages 30 fast laps per race, and that's the most of anyone in the field. Kyle Busch follows with 24 fast laps per race. And they both average just over 40 lead laps per race, and are also leading the field in that regard. You know, Harvick's only coming in at these large ovals, averaging about 17 lead laps with 18 fast laps. But given his current form right now, and especially his knack for this track, he still has to be the favorite despite the stats here. And I guess really the guy I've kind of glazed over in this range is Brad Keselowski. He had the great race here last year, but he really races well here every year. And he was second to Harvick in 10 lap speeds in the second practice. Not as great in the third practice, but he's still fifth quick overall. And starting 11th gives you a little bit of a safety net. Now, he's priced just $100 cheaper than Kyle Busch. And if you're making the direct comparison there, it's really hard to, you know, because Kyle Busch is looking like he might lead a lot of laps coming right out of the gate, either him or Truex, and Keselowski would have to work his way up first. His odds are 9.5-1 compared to Kyle Busch's 4.25-1. So almost double the odds for Keselowski. You could, just with the way that Fords are right now, you could play him with Harvick, you can play him with Logano. He could definitely do well. He always makes himself a factor here and could dominate at any time. And the ending of this race always comes down to like pit strategy. And last year, Brad Keselowski didn't have Paul Wolf with them. He does this year, and they are the masters of strategy. They'll definitely be able to work something out, get them on the right pits, the pit schedule. I think that Keselowski is a really sneaky play, and he, with all of the, with the domination mostly being allotted towards, Truex, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Larson, Keselowski and Logano, Team Penske here, they could get a little forgotten about, them starting 11th and 6th. I kind of like not forgetting about Penske, even though all the attention is on Stuart Haas Racing. This is the track that Penske built. So don't forget about those guys this week, even though they all qualified and they're all in kind of unsavory positions. Looking at Logano last year, he started in the back of the pack, but he had a rocket the entire race, flew up, instantly was in the top five. Like, it only took him like 10 laps, and he stayed in the top five all race long, finished fifth. And that's pretty much his MO every time he's here. He doesn't really lead laps, but he always rides, in the top 10, usually the top five. So Logano could be that dark horse. I've said that about him the last few weeks, and he's gotten a few lead laps this year. Not too many, but a few. So basically pick one or two of these guys, and then move on to this next range that I'm about to talk to here, the easy range. You don't need a whole lot of analysis when guys are starting in the very back here. Just going through all the guys that didn't qualify, I'm splitting them up by guys that you can play. I'm taking out the guys that you obviously should not play, regardless of where they qualify. But going by price here, you've got Chase Elliott, $9,700. He'll be starting back in 31st. Denny Hamlin at $9,300, starting 25th. Jimmy Johnson, $9,000, starting 33rd. Eric Almirola, Mr. Consistent, Mr. Always qualifying the back for us, and Mr. Always doing well. He is Mr. 27th place right now, starting. And it cost you $8,500 now. His price is getting up there, but it's definitely worth it this week. One of my favorite plays, if not my favorite play of the week here, Mr. Red Hot Fire himself, Clint Bowyer, who's had a career resurgence this year. He'll be starting back in 26th position. It'll cost you $8,000. Alex Bowman, $7,600. He'll be starting back in 28th. Daniel Suarez, $7,000. He'll start 30th. William Byron, he'll start 29th. He's $6,600. And then some incredibly cheap guys in really nice spots. Casey Kane, $6,100, starting all the way back in 34th. AJ Allmendinger, $6,000, starting 32nd. And then you've got your punt club here. You've got Cole Witt making another start this year. He's starting dead last, 37th, for $5,200. And then what I assume will be a very popular play this week, Ross Chastain. Who's been getting it done, finishing with some top 30 finishes, starting from the back. Ross Chastain starting 36th, and he'll only cost you $4,900. Then if you like pain, I guess you could go with Timmy Hill, $4,800, starting 35th, but I wouldn't personally do that. So of this range here, this is going to be the meat and bones of your lineup. Every single one of them outside of Timmy Hill is a pretty darn good play. You're going to need to punt down some of these cheap guys, and the range of Kane, Allmendinger, Cole Witt, Ross Chastain, you're going to have to abuse this range if you want to play Kevin Harvick. You just have to. A very common way, I think the most common way that people will start out their lineup this week will probably be Kyle Busch and then Kevin Harvick, because Kyle Busch being $500 cheaper than Truex Jr., and everyone seeing what happened last week with Truex Jr. taking the pole and just getting smoked off the pole, not leading a single lap. So if guys go Kyle Busch and then Kevin Harvick, that pretty much forces you to pick on this range from Suarez down to Ross Chastain. It's hard to tell who will be the most popular of all of these guys. I do see Chase Elliott getting a little bit less love than Hamlin, Johnson, Almirola, Bowyer, because $9,700, playing him means that you have to fade like a Kevin Harvick or a Kyle Busch or a Kyle Larson. And starting 31st with Chase Elliott is fantastic, But he did struggle quite a bit in happy hour practice, coming in 25th quick overall, almost dead last in the 10-lap speeds. Not all of his teammates had problems either. Jimmy Johnson was third in happy hour practice, so don't really know what all to make of that, but we don't really care about practice as much here as we do other tracks, but it's just interesting to see. Chase Elliott's probably going to come with a significant discount, and he's done well here in the past. He hasn't finished outside of the top 10, and he's even gotten a few lead laps, although they were just due to pit cycles, but still. Averages 13 fast laps per race at Auto Club, and that's always really nice. Love the fast laps. Always got to remember that fast laps are twice as important as lead laps. It's just usually they're, you know, mutually exclusive. Also, I'm loving Chase Elliott just because I know guys cheaper than him are going to be owned higher than him. But again, he is Chase Elliott, and he's always going to be very popular. So I'm going to try to be overweight on him. I'm going to try. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to try. You've got Denny Hamlin starting 25th, and he never does this. He's super consistent about running in the top 10. Even though he's starting a little bit higher than guys like Johnson, Elliott, he's definitely safer. Last week we saw him and Kyle Busch had pretty much the same car, same speed. So Hamlin is, you know, play him in cash. I'd probably play him in cash over Elliott, to be quite honest, just because Elliott was struggling pretty loose in practice. You know, just not entirely sure about him. Love me some Elliott, don't get me wrong, but I think I would prefer Hamlin straight up if I wasn't such a big Elliott fan knucklehead. Then you've got Jimmy Johnson starting 33rd. So time to play Jimmy Johnson, finally. I've been waiting all season. He ended up winning this one in 2016, even though Harvick dominated the race. He snuck in there for the win. And if that's kind of what I say about Johnson, is that if he's going to win, he's going to sneak into the win. But he doesn't need to do that here. He just needs to do all right. And that's what we've seen from him the last few weeks. He's been hanging in there pretty tough, just not really dominating or anything. But he's worked his way up the field and has done okay. And a performance like that is perfectly fine, starting 33rd. He could definitely finish in the top five, and that would certainly lock him into the maybe not the winning lineup, but it would certainly be an excellent play for you. And, you know, just kind of a wild card, Jimmy. Don't really know what to expect here, but this is one of his best tracks historically, and just starting 33rd, that's, you know, it does a lot of the work for you, getting all the place differential points, driving around the Greg Aldings of the world. Then Eric Almirola, love this play a lot. He's so fast in practice. His practice speeds kind of tapered down as he got towards happy hour practice, but still. 27th starting position for him, pretty much where he's been qualifying, and he's always walked up into the top 15, top 10, and just kind of chilled there. And at $8,500, it's getting harder to justify the price, but, well, I guess a better way to phrase that is that he's becoming less and less of a super free, obvious play for everybody, and just more into the just super strong play range. His teammate, Clint Bowyer, starts a spot behind, or a spot in front of him in 26th, and he's $500 less, and looked even better in practice, and crushed last year. So, you know, that was Bowyer's first year in the Stuart Haas Racing Ford. And he had not even done that well here in the past, but he couldn't have looked any better last year. And this year, the start of the season for him has been awesome. He's been a lock in the top 10 pretty much every race. So, starting 26th, $8,000, he's going to be definitely a core play in your lineups for sure. Now, Alex Bowman, $7,600, starting 28th. He hasn't been at this track in a while and hasn't done anything, but he was driving a back burner kind of car back then. Don't really know much about how Bowman will do here, really. And this year, he's just been okay, you know, riding around about 17th place on average. Starting 28th, he'll still work his way up some. Really, just if the salary kind of lands there and you've got enough spot or enough money left for like Alex Bowman, you take him over an Austin Dillon pretty much any day, or guys in that range. But really, for $7,000, I'd definitely rather take Suarez straight up over Bowman. So if you make a lineup and Bowman fits the salary perfectly, you could honestly just leave $600 on the table, take a much more unique stance on that lineup, and just drop straight to Suarez. Love Suarez here. He finished seventh last year, although that he wasn't doing that well until the very, very end there. He kind of snuck his way into the top 10, but he's riding around about 17th place. And this season, that's kind of been where he's at. He's had a little bit of trouble so far this season, but Joe Gibbs looks strong. Generally, in these large ovals, he does pretty well, finishes around the top 15. For $7,000, his price has gotten really cheap. It being in that, number 19 Toyota, Joe Gibbs Racing, the former Carl Edwards mobile, and Edwards did pretty well here. I think Suarez, just at $7,000, that's too cheap for him. I'm definitely buying him, and hopefully his recent performances keep people off of him. We haven't been using him because he's been qualifying way too high, but this is perfect. And, $7,000, he'll fit a lot. Like, he'll be your last play in a lot of lineups, believe me. He's just right. He's really the only play that's like playable between Bowman at 7,600 and William Byron at 6,600. So you're going to be using a good amount of Suarez here. William Byron was in the winning lineup last week despite starting 11th, because he got some pretty lucky lead laps. Led about 15 lead laps last week, and it was just because of pit cycles. He stayed out trying to get lucky. But that pit cycle ended up working out for him, and he had a pretty good finish as well. Still not entirely sure what to make of him, and this is another one of these tracks where things can get dicey like that, and bold calls at the end will certainly shake things up. And last year we had 30 guys on the lead lap at the end of the race, so you don't have to worry about Byron going laps down this week. I mean, last week he kept getting the lucky dog and staying on the lead lap. Won't even need to this week. The concern with him is being his practice times are all pretty slow. 26th, 21st, and 23rd. And then 19th in the 10-lap speeds. The price is just absolutely right with Byron. $6,600. And starting 29th, that's great. He's had really low ownership over the last few weeks. So I like him as a little leverage play. I mean, he's going to be more popular this week, obviously, but I think him starting 29th, just having that 2 there with all the other guys starting in the 30s, that's going to keep his ownership low. So I like him as a sneaky play. Then Casey Kane, $6,100. Allmendinger, $6,000, and Kane starting 34th, Allmendinger starting 32nd. These plays are going to be kind of interchangeable. You might need to change between them if you're short $100 or something, but Kane starting all the way back in 34th is, I mean, that's a super, super high floor for Kane. He can't really go negative at this point, and he's certainly going to move up some. Even though he hasn't been doing the greatest this season, he's certainly looking to move up. He hasn't even done that well in the past here, but man, starting 34th and only $6,100 for someone like Kane, there's not really a whole lot you need to think about here. He'll move up to like the 20s, right around 20th place or so, and that's going to be all you need from him at such a cheap price. Even if he finishes like 24th, he'll be perfectly fine for his salary. And then the same really goes with Allmendinger starting 32nd. And he was really fast in second practice, 7th quickest overall. But he didn't take any 10-lap speed, so he kind of just had a hot lap there. A couple of top 10 finishes here recently in 2016 and in 2014. Allmendinger is someone that likes the flatter tracks, I guess, and definitely better at these large ovals than he is at 1.5 mile tracks and like the short and flak tracks like we were looking at last week. I had kind of struggled on those a little bit outside of Martinsville. He does pretty well here, 17th last year, and then 8th the year before that. Horrid start to the season for him, but he's starting so low that's not going to matter. I still prefer Kane over Allmendinger here, and I think Allmendinger is going to be more popular than Kane, perhaps. He kind of has been in ownership. I mean, maybe Kane starting 34th will really push him over the edge here, but I like Kane over Allmendinger, but both of them are really strong plays to make. You've got the return of Cole Witt starting 37th, dead last, $5,200. We saw him when he raced earlier. He was in a lot of people's lineups because he was just that cheap guy that made everything fill out, and he ended up doing all right. Starting dead last, he's at least probably gonna, you'd imagine, get past Timmy Hill, maybe a Gray Galding, a Jeffrey Earnhardt, you know, and really just taking him on the off chance that, you know, several people DNF, and, you know, there are definitely gonna be guys that DNF, but if there's like any sort of large crash in the end, you know, Colwick could possibly stay on the lead lap. We see tons of guys staying on the lead lap. It is a bigger track, but still, you know, keep your expectations level here. More people are going to be about the Ross Chastain play here. And just looking at the odds, you know, Witt is 2,000 to 1. Chastain's 1,250 to 1. Had faster practice times, and Chastain's done really well over the last few weeks, breaking the top 30, having some decent finishes, starting 36th. And at only $4,900, Chastain is going to find his way into a lot of people's lineups. No one has ever really owned this guy. He's been like 1% to 2% owned each week, but this is going to be the big coming out party for Chastain as everyone kind of realizes that they need to play him in order to fit in these more expensive guys that started in the back here along with Harvick. And then the last guy here, Timmy Hill, even though he's starting 35th, no. That's starting too high for him, 35th. So not going to be using Hill. And then going into this range here, there's kind of this middle range of like guys that qualified that you just probably shouldn't play, really. But they're not like you absolutely have to avoid them no matter what, because they could theoretically still stick around. Looking at Ryan Blaney starting 8th, Kurt Busch starting 7th. Ryan Newman starting 9th. You know, it's easy to forget about these plays. You can pretty much uncheck them if you want. They're not going to have any sort of a big projection, but if there's going to be one guy that just spoils the nuts for anybody, it's going to be one of these. Even Stenhouse starting 16th or McMurray starting 15th. Honestly, I kind of just like the McMurray play starting 16th. Everyone's going to be picking, like, William Byron in this range here, but McMurray was pretty decent in practice, around the top 10 in speed. And he has 3 top 10 finishes here in the last 4 years. 6th last year, 10th the year before, and in 2014 he finished 6th as well. So I don't really mind that move. And then you've got Stenhouse, who's finally not qualified in the top 10, but he's been struggling hard in practice. Not really sure what to make of him, although he did finish 5th here in 2016. A lot of that due to the shakeup towards the end. But Paul Menard starting in 14th, like he does every single week. He was slower in practice, so I don't really know what to make of him here. This is a track that he has been good at historically. Hasn't been good here the last few years, so not really sure what to make of him. I know that he does have a fast car. He wasn't the best last week. He crashed, and even before he crashed, he wasn't looking too hot overall, kind of moving down. I don't know, it's hard to play a Menard over a guy like Suarez, you know, just really hard to do that this week, but he could stick around. He really, of the guys in this range here, there's like this questionable area. I kind of like Menard and McMurray the most. And then you've got to dip down here into the very large do not play section this week. And it's very, very large. You've got Erik Jones, $8,200 starting 4th. You can't really play him here. He's not going to lead laps over guys like Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson, Kevin Harvick. It's just not going to happen. So he's going to go backwards. He's pretty much starting at his ceiling. He's going to work his way backwards. Might have a couple of fast laps, and that's going to be it for you. Austin Dillon starting fifth, also a complete trap play. You really can't play him. I know that he's had some solid finishes this year, and he could even stick in the top 10. It's just starting fifth. That is extremely high. Darrell Wallace Jr. and Ty Dillon, they had both been qualifying so low that they've been tempting us to play them, and they've just been doing a lot of nothing. They kind of made it easy for us this week. They qualified 17th and 19th. And just don't touch either of them. Uncheck these guys. Maybe Bubba Wallace starting 19th could move up a little tiny bit or something, but I don't see it yet. You've got Trevor Bayne, $5,800. Nice price for Bayne, but he's starting 13th. That is way too high. Chris Buescher, $5,700. He's all right in practice. I almost kind of want to play him a little bit. He's been all right. It's just starting 12th. No, you can't do that. Michael McDowell starting 27th, that's too high. David Reagan starting 21st. Matt DiBenedetto starting 18th is just ridiculous. Don't you dare play that. And then Reed Sorensen starting 24th. Jeffrey Earnhardt starting 23rd. Greg Alding starting 20th. That is a danger zone. These guys could potentially cause an accident just because of the guys starting behind them being so much faster than they are. These guys basically got to qualify for free just by rolling around the track and making it to the second round. That's pretty much it, because there's no way these guys would normally make the second round of qualifying if it wasn't for the fact that they got to, they basically had no way of failing missing the top 24, since only 24 people even made qualifying runs. So don't play these guys. Good chunk of the field that you should be ignoring this week completely. Focus on your dominators. Don't click any more than two. You're going to want to set a dominator setting in the domination station lineup optimizer that says no more than two dominators here. And you're going to want, like, in the optimal lineup here, the optimal lineup setup, you're basically going to take one of Truex, Kyle Busch, or Larson for that first chunk of laps. And then probably follow it up with Harvick. You could also follow it up with Keselowski if you want to be different here. Or Logano if you want to be really different. I don't know if I'd be huge on taking Kyle Busch and Truex kind of together like that, you know? Because I think if you're going to go with a second dominator, I'd prefer to get the extra kind of place differential with Harvick and Keselowski here. But, you know, that could possibly be the winning lineup as well. I kind of really hope this week that one of the guys like Hamlin or Elliott or even a Jimmy Johnson maybe, or even Clint Bowyer with the way he's looking, I'm hoping one of these guys dominates and leads some laps, especially Chase Elliott. He has what it takes, and he's been there this season. He just hasn't been able to put his nose out in front all that much. He's only led 3 laps on the season outside of Daytona, but, you know, I think everyone's going to kind of be on the same page here. I still think, even with all the shakeup, I think there's going to be a lot of ties, just due to how things are. But don't get too cute this week. You can fade the chalk and Harvick if you want. I don't think that's that cute, because at $11,500, that's a lot of money to, you know, that kind of money requires a lot of fantasy points to meet value, so that might be an all right fade this week. I'm going to be a little bit under the field in Harvick myself, maybe a little bit overweight on guys like Kyle Busch. I kind of think Kyle Busch passes Truex here to lead the first chunk, and I kind of really do like Keselowski and Logano. I'm keeping my eye on them, although I know I won't need to use a ton to be overweight. I'll just try to get overweight on the field there. Larson, I'm not sure about. I'm kind of on the fence, but I might try to just go with the field there. So that's how I'm attacking this slate. The rest is all place differential. So good luck at Fontana here. Well, this will be the final race of the West Coast Swing, and it's been a fun one. It's been very wild, and this is the most wild, the Wild West, or really, it's the most wild race that I've even covered, just with how qualifying has worked out. I've never had more than 5 or 6 guys sent to the back. 13 is just incredible. So, just got to adjust this week. And really, this week is kind of easy as far as analysis goes. So, you guys should have a really good time. The Domination Station is going to crush again. And if you want to check that out, please check out DFSArmy.com. Use promo code TACO on sign up to support the pod. And you won't regret it. Seriously, we're a great, great company. Great, great crew to be involved with. We all help each other out, and we're a really strong community. So come join us, DFS Army. All right, I'll see you guys next week, and good luck with this race. Happy St. Paddy's Day. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as The Secrets to Unlocking a New Level to Your Game.